We begin our look at the seven words that Jesus spoke from the cross. The first word focuses on forgiveness. How do we deal with forgiveness, but we really struggle with it because of what that person did to us? How can I forgive that? Some might say, I could never forgive that. We carry that hurt and pain because of our pride, or because we just think we can never forgive them. Yet, God tells us to forgive not seven times, but 77 times, but He says seven times 70, that number of completion, more times than we could ever imagine. Instead of forgiving, we like to hold grudges. We get bitter or try to get back at others. We let that hurt and that pain define us and that person rule in our hearts and minds instead of forgiving. But our God has forgiven you. Every sin, every mistake, we don't deserve it, but God has forgiven us. And so we see our perfect Savior on the cross, innocent, not deserving of this, and what does He do? But He forgives those who crucify Him. He shows us what true forgiveness is, and He dies to give us that true forgiveness. We see the first word spoken of His love for mankind, that forgiveness. We read, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Him there along with the criminals, one on His right, the other on His left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. They divided up His clothes by casting lots. Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircle me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Oh, sorry. He bore the sin of many. Our second word, mocked and hated, you see Jesus hung on a cross unfairly, but two criminals being punished justly for their crimes. And here we see what faith in Christ really means. I saw a clip recently of a pastor who had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he made the mention of what does Jesus' death and resurrection really mean, but that everything's going to be okay. And you can see in his eyes the tears of knowing that he's facing death, but that everything's going to be okay. You've faced cancer, if you face loss and pain, there's a lot of worry to wonder if everything's going to be okay. We look at the world and we wonder, the world's broken. How's everything going to be okay? What hope is there for a man hanging on a cross who's being punished for being a criminal? This man next to Jesus, he'd say there's no hope for him. he's dying and he's a criminal. But as he cries out to Jesus to remember him, Jesus gives him the hope and peace that gives him eternal life. That in the face of all punishment and pain and knowing the sins that he's committed and that he's suffering for the sins he's committed, he's told that everything's going to be okay. That's what I want you to hear and know in your life, no matter what you face. Because of faith in Jesus, everything's going to be okay. Jesus speaks the words to the criminal, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." No matter what we face in this world, we have the promise of forgiveness and peace of eternal life, knowing that everything truly is going to be okay. We read from Luke 23. "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said, 'since you're under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. All who see me mock me.' He trusts in the Lord, they said. Let the Lord rescue him. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. The third word. During Jesus' ministry, he spoke to his disciples and told them that they would need to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow him. Now, Jesus himself is on a cross. He's taken up his cross. And as we struggle so much to deny ourselves, to serve others, to put anyone's needs ahead of our own, we see the struggle we have. That the world says your needs, your happiness, what you want is the most important thing. The worst thing that you could do is to put down your desires and your wants for someone else. But here we see what's most important. We see that Jesus, as he's dying on a cross, gives comfort and shows that he's thinking about others. Jesus cares for his family and his friends and asks them to care for each other. This is what he asked us to do, to put others first, to put our needs second and serve God and to serve others. Here, Jesus is sacrificing everything it has in mind the needs of others. Just as on the cross dying, he has you in mind. He came to earth, became a man, to die for your sins, to care for you most of all, to give you peace eternal. We read. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Fourth word. To be betrayed. You know what that feels like for someone to break your trust, to feel forsaken by someone else. You maybe experienced that. It's not a great feeling. It's one of the worst feelings to be forsaken by someone. But what does it feel like to be forsaken by God? Can you imagine that? There's people that speak about life in this earth and they say, well, there's no real hell because, well, this world is hell. There's so many difficulties and problems. But this world is not hell. Even those in great suffering still receive the blessings of God. There is still good in this world. But to be forsaken by God, what does that really mean? But to suffer hell, to be cut off from God and His love, His grace, and His mercy. So to be forsaken, well, we know what that might feel like from someone in this life, but to be forsaken by God, my prayer is you never experience that, because that would mean eternal damnation. And God sent Jesus to the cross to be forsaken by Him, to become sin. He who was perfect became sin to be forsaken so that you would never be forsaken. Even if you feel the difficulties and you say, God, why would you bring this about? Why is there such suffering? Why is there such difficulty? You are not forsaken by God. God still loves you. He sent Jesus to the cross and forsook Him so that you would never experience it. He became sin so that you could have the righteousness of God. And that instead of being forsaken, you'll be welcomed in His arms. That you have the peace and righteousness of God. We read from Matthew 27. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?
My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon. The fifth word. Maybe you've thought to yourself, no one knows what I'm going through. The difficulty, the pain. You might feel very alone. Maybe it's just because of what someone else did to you. Maybe it's because of a sin that you committed and you're facing those consequences. You can feel very alone. But the amazing thing is our God sent Jesus, who was perfect and part of the Trinity, to become a man, to live like one of us. And it says he was tempted in every way that we were. He knows what it's like to face those temptations. And then he experienced so many of the things that we experienced. We said betrayal already. He experienced the loss of loved ones. We see how much people hated him, even though he was innocent. So while you might say, no one understands me, here as we hear the words of Jesus speak, these very human words of, I am thirsty, we know that he knows what it's like to be you and me. That he became man for you. So that you're not alone. So that your identity can be found in Jesus. That you're loved and forgiven by him. And so whenever you feel alone, you know that you are not. That you are a child of God. That you are a brother and a sister of Christ who is not afraid to call you brother or sister. Because he became man to set you free. To experience the pain that you experience, but to live perfectly in your place. Our sins, we know, nailed him to the cross. But there, he suffered for you and for me. He knows what it's like. But he did that to redeem you and me. Not afraid to call you brother and sister. Your identity is sure, redeemed and forgiven by Jesus. We read from John 19. After this, when he knew that all things necessary for the scripture to be fulfilled had now been accomplished, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. I am worn out calling for help. They put gall in my food. The sixth word. The jailer in Philippi said these words, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe. It's so important for us to see that we know what our sins have done, that we need to confess and know that we deserve that being forsaken by God. We know that our sins put Jesus on the cross. What saves us is faith because of what Jesus says here. In English, three words. It is finished. In Greek, one word, tetelestai. The word that means paid in full. That, yes, we know what sin has done. And we don't deserve God's love, but our debt is paid. And there's nothing I can do to make up for it. But it's done. We cling to Christ, and this is the message of the gospel. That we hear the law and know that we're greater sinners than we could ever imagine. But the gospel says you are more loved than you could ever imagine. And the uniqueness of Christianity that gives you the verdict first, that says you are forgiven. Now go and show that love. You are forgiven because Jesus said it is finished, paid in full, your debt is done. What we cling to, knowing that Christ has done it all and paid our debt to bring us peace with God now and forever. We read. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Because of the blood of my covenant with you,
I will free your prisoners from the power of sin.
I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. Our seventh word. When Jesus came to live among us, he told his disciples that he was the way, the truth, and the life. What was he the way to? What is he the truth of? But he's the way to heaven. The way to get you to the Father. Our relationship with God is not great by nature. By nature, we are stubborn. By nature, we want what is best for ourselves. We're prideful, and you can see it in the littlest child who does not want to share. And more as we grow up, the more and more we rebel and make it all about ourselves. And don't want to listen to his ways. And so we are so distant from the Father. But Jesus' whole mission was to bring you peace with God. So that when you live this life, you have no fear. That you can know that you are at peace with God now. Even when your sins condemn you, even when you're afraid, you cling to Christ. You know you're at peace. But most of all, for when those closing hours come, when those loved ones have passed, we know that God is welcoming them. That he loves us so much that he sent Jesus to be our Savior. And so as Jesus speaks the words that into your hands I commit my spirit, Father, we know that he welcomes him. And notice that he gives up his life willingly. That Jesus did this because he loved you. This is the message of Good Friday. While we know what our sins have done, we rejoice in what God has done through Christ. A Good Friday where Jesus gives himself up for you to defeat death. That's not the end. That he will rise, and you too as well. We read. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." He has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors.